Ace Podcast.
Weird.
That music before?
Yeah, heck yes, I have.
That's some good music
right
there.
I've got that music. You know where I got it on my, I got it on my iPhone.
You got it everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere, man.
It's such good music.
Mark Patch.
He is amazing.
What a guy.
You know what he is? Musical genius.
He's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
Hey, guess what?
Say what?
This is the podcast called Weird.
That's right. My name's Aaron.
And this is Craig, and we're coming to you right now live, semi-live, from the Lee Berry Studios.
It's a live
outside
recording.
Of Nashville.
Yeah. It's a live
recording. We were alive at the time of the recording.
That's correct.
So if anything happens between now and the time you hear this, you could say the last thing you heard from us.
Hey, can I pull the curtain back a little bit and share with our listener?
You didn't make me pull the curtain down when we're in here.
Can I share a little bit of the podcast magic that we experience?
Sure.
Okay, last episode, for those of us that listen to us regularly.
Like, including us, because we listen to every one of them.
Yeah, when we're editing.
No, actually, we do every one of them.
So that's true. We listen and
we're
talk.
We're hearing as we do it.
Anyway, last episode, we were talking about us having a great time at the White House library.
We did.
But we hadn't. At the time we were talking about it, because we recorded the last episode before the event.
So we kind of misled a little.
A little, because we knew that episode was coming out after the event.
And we knew we would have a good time.
And we did.
But now we can really talk about it.
Yes, and I'd like to mention, we're each going to mention somebody that we met there. I'm going to mention Moments Sealed, which is Zane and Emmy's blog and Facebook. Now, Zane and Emmy are a fantastic couple that, you know, she was green. You remember
that? I know her.
She was very green.
I know exactly who she was.
So we had a great conversation, and she's adopted a child. But the whole story is on her blog at momentssealed.com.
Yep.
And you can buy her crafts there.
Yep,
and
I saw that.
All the money goes to support the adoption of the next child they're wanting to get. So anyway, it's Moments Sealed on Facebook, and momentssealed.com is her blog. It's a great blog. So who'd you have?
I got to meet a Disney Imagineer.
No, you did not.
Barry Snyder.
Oh, I talked to him.
Yeah, he was awesome. Actually, I talked to him with Green Girl.
Yeah, you did. That's right. I was working our table.
And I was afraid. I ran him up to the last second before he had to run in the other room and do his little speech. But
he had a big crowd, too.
Yeah.
Bigger than us.
Well, that wouldn't take much. This guy was telling me all these great stories about the rides he worked on. Hopefully he's listening, because he said he was going to listen to the podcast. I hope he does.
He told me he was going to put a sticker on this
car.
That'd
be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just fascinated listening to the guy's stories. Like, he worked on all these rides that I love.
Yes.
He worked on, I don't know exactly what he did. He worked with some of the films, like Little Mermaid and this and that, I think. But
yeah.
In some capacity.
Right.
But he was really, the interesting thing was the backstory, and it was just really cool.
He was very friendly. I enjoyed speaking with him.
And
I didn't get to talk to him as much as you did, because I was working.
Well, probably the guy just said, hey, I got to go somewhere just to get away from me. Because once I started talking to him, I couldn't stop.
I use that on you all the time.
Yeah, who doesn't?
So anyway.
Anyway, so you're going to get.
That's our house cleaning.
We had a great time. And also, some sucker brought a bunch of candy to our booth.
Oh, yeah.
And we sat and ate like Hershey Kisses and peanut butter cups all
day.
And
then a guy from a bakery brought us cake.
Guy from a bakery here at the Lee Berry Studios.
Yes, he did.
He brought us some, what was that? Some kind of a
lemon something?
Some cake.
Some delicious cake is what it was.
Really good. So anyway.
What is that bakery name? Highway 31 sandwiches or something.
It's right next to the Municipal Center, right next to the library, right next to the road, right next to the something.
Something
up
over there
in White House.
Yeah, right.
Anyway. So anyway, you got top story?
Yeah.
Top story.
Texas woman calls police because chicken nuggets not cooked quickly enough.
How are you supposed to make them cook any faster?
I don't know. Maybe she's living in a microwave world, and they were cooking in a hot oil place.
Maybe she's stupid.
I don't know. Maybe.
That's all I could think of.
A woman in Waco was...
Oh, Waco, Texas.
Waco was mad her nuggets didn't get cooked quick enough. And
now, they didn't get to it quick enough, or once they were in the oil, they weren't cooking quick enough?
The quote is, mad her nuggets didn't get cooked quick enough.
Okay.
So she called the police Friday night.
Because that's what you do, people.
Yes, it happens. We actually had the chicken nugget call last night. Waco police wrote in a Facebook post describing the encounter. Two officers were dispatched about 11 p.m. You knew it was close to midnight. Had to be. To a fast food drive-thru where the woman complained her nuggets weren't cooked quickly enough and wanted to get them for free.
This isn't Domino's.
Management worked with her and gave the customer her money back. And we asked her to move along, Sergeant Swanton told WFAA-TV channel.
So they actually gave her money back?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, well, then they're workable.
He declined to identify the restaurant, but I saw a picture. It was Ronald's place.
It had to be.
It was Ronald's
place. When you say nuggets are not cooked quick enough, where else could you be talking about?
Wendy's?
Well, okay, where else could you be talking about? Hardee's? Where else are you talking about?
A&W?
Dang it.
KFC?
Dang it.
Wait.
Darn it.
I obviously didn't think that through.
Right.
Hey.
Yeah, what do you got?
Next story.
Okay.
Ready for this?
Hey,
we got friends in Oklahoma.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah.
No, I was going to say it because I'm the one reading the story.
Well, I see the headline.
Oklahoma jail officer. I thought it was an Oklahoma jail we were talking about. Oklahoma jail officer accused of trying to smuggle in drugs using...
Burrito.
Yeah.
It's always a burrito.
It is. What's with law officers and burritos lately?
I don't know. I'm going to call out to Branflake on this one. He's going to have to give us some news.
Branflake lives very near this.
Yeah, he's going to have to... I don't know. Yeah, he's pretty close to Tulsa.
Yep.
A jail officer in Oklahoma tried to smuggle in drugs using a burrito, investigators say. Kevin Mayo. The irony.
There's no mayo in a burrito, Kevin.
I guess the cops held the mayo. Kevin Mayo, 20, was first questioned after the jail received the tip that he was bringing contraband into the jail, according to KFOR. Mayo is a detention officer with the Tulsa County Sheriff's Office. Investigators searched Mayo's backpack where they found hydrocodone, 2 grams of meth, and more than four grams of marijuana wrapped inside a burrito.
You know what?
He gets A for effort.
He does, but he's going to be an officer in the jail now. This brings, you know what, you know, last time we had a story, a woman gave an officer a half a burrito. Yep. Maybe she was offering him something more than a burrito. I bet he didn't check inside.
It could have been drugs.
Yes.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe there was a crisp $100 bill.
There's something with burritos.
I'm going to start looking at my burritos before I eat them.
I am too. Make sure there's
safety.
Something in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, they also discovered rolling papers hidden in a pack of gum and cell phone chargers in his backpack.
Good night, man.
Well, cell phone chargers aren't exactly contraband.
Nope. Well.
Unless he's got a bunch of stolen cell phones.
I don't know, but I bet they are in the jail because they're not supposed to have cell phones in the jail, but they're finding a ton of them lately
right. Because
of officers like this.
Or the guys in Atlanta or wherever it was that were just letting him go into the fence every night.
Come back whenever they want. That's another flashback.
In addition, deputies located a cell phone in his sock.
There it is.
And lighters in his pocket.
This guy was making a fortune.
Mayo initially told investigators that he didn't know anything about the phone, but later admitted he was smuggling it inside for an inmate. That's where darn it comes in, by the way.
He didn't know anything about the phone that was in his sock.
Darn it.
You're really going to have to work on the darn it.
Darn it.
He faces several charges, including conspiracy to commit a felony and possession of drug paraphernalia.
Darn it.
Yep. You know, the darn it button, I caught a little heat, but not from where you would think.
Really?
Yeah. Lori seemed to be, well, she didn't want us talking about her.
No.
Darn it.
So I said, you mad? Yeah, and I blamed
her
on you.
Don't be mad with me.
I said, don't be mad with me.
Yeah.
And she said, why? I said, because it's all Craig. I don't even have that button. He's got it. It's Craig's button. I've got the rest of them. Craig's got the darn it button. But she's okay with that.
So you lied to her.
No, I was having fun. But Sean Rourke said that he made this button for us for one specific reason.
He made that button for you?
Yeah, he did. Only when I brought up Lori, since she's not supposed to be talked about on the show.
Okay.
That's when he wanted me to push the button. Only when we brought up Lori.
So if I say Lori.
Darn it.
Yeah.
Then you would bring it up. But if I said Lori.
Darn it.
Yeah.
You say it. But if I said Dory. Oh,
nothing.
You almost pushed
See?
It.
Nothing.
But if I said Lori.
Darn it.
Okay.
Yeah, and if I say Glenna.
There's nothing there yet.
Poke you with a snake
something. Yeah, something.
Something like that.
There'd be something she would say.
Ejection seat, maybe.
No, something. Anyway.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Did you finish your story?
Yes, I'm waiting for you to talk about this man.
Okay, headline is, man feigns illness to avoid paying bar bill twice.
Did he do the cha-cha out the door or something?
A galoop man. Is that how you pronounce that?
I have no idea.
A galoop man faked.
We'll say galoop.
A galoop man faked being sick, and paramedics were called in a ploy to get out of paying his bar tab, police said. Late Wednesday night, the man was in a downtown establishment and consumed some alcoholic beverages. Before he paid for his drinks, he appeared to develop some medical distress, and an ambulance was called to assist him.
Did you say an ambulance?
That's what I said.
Okay.
Police said in a release. Police were called when it was learned that the same situation had occurred earlier in the evening with the same man at a different establishment.
Establishment.
That's right.
Is that an electronic establishment?
EMS staff said the man was not intoxicated, and he was not suffering from a medical condition. It's alleged that the male feigned illness to avoid paying his bill, police said. The 39-year-old Galoop man has been charged with fraudulently obtaining food and will appear in court at a later date.
Well, my daughter was at a dinner one night.
Savannah?
Yeah, I think it was her, actually.
Okay.
We don't talk about her, darn it. And so one of her nut job friends at the time faked out like she was having an appendix attack. And meds came in and paramedics and everybody came in.
Did she pay her bill?
And later, I don't know, later she admitted she just did it. Are you kidding me?
That's dinner time entertainment. But this Psycho. Guy, you know, if you and I pulled a scheme like this, let's just say we were...
We'd fail immediately.
Let's say we went to Dairy Queen.
And let's do it.
Well, okay, we will.
Where's the door shutting when we do that?
Dairy Queen. You talking about...
Yeah.
Dairy Queen. Uh-huh. Okay, let's go to Dairy Queen. I like that. I see what you wanted.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
It wouldn't work at Dairy Queen because...
Let me have that soundboard for 5 minutes. We'll see what happens.
It wouldn't work at Dairy Queen because you pay before you eat.
Right.
So we have to go to a fancier place where we sit down, we have a meal, they bring us the check. I get up, act like I'm having a heart attack. They call the ambulance. You follow me to the hospital.
Right, but you can't do it at Dairy Queen.
No, you can't do it at Dairy Queen because you got to pay in advance.
This really is unrelated, but Dairy Queen should have a buffet.
Ice cream buffet?
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
All the peanut butter parfaits.
Oh,
I want.
Stop it.
All the Buster bars.
Oh, and I'm hungry too. But even if it did work, we wouldn't do it again the same night.
No.
In the same city where the same ambulance could come?
I wouldn't do it anyway.
It's crazy.
It's called character. You like that, did you?
Yes, I did.
Hey.
Yeah.
Geese, you know those things, those nasty birds that fly around?
They do fly.
Yeah.
But they're cute when they
land.
No,
they're not. They walk around going...
I like them.
Everyone listening right now knows that those Canadian geese go...
It didn't say anything about Canadian geese.
Well, they're geese.
Yeah.
All geese pretty much do the same thing. They walk around pooping on stuff and going...
Is it a geese or a gander? You know, six in one hand...
It's a gander of geese.
What do you call a bunch of them?
A bunch. Anyway, geese...
Is it a murder? Would you call a bunch of geese a murder?
I don't know. Can I read the story?
Okay. You wouldn't call them a flock. You call a flock of seagulls. But
right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Geese dump droppings on Disneyland guest hitting 17 people.
Hey, Mom, look, there's Mickey. Let's go. Oh, hey, it's raining.
Fecal surprise.
That's no rain.
Yeah, don't worry about the button. I've already done the...
Fecal surprise.
I've already done it. I did a live one.
Well, I topped you off
on there. The fly. I just did a fecal surprise.
Surprise.
Disneyland visitors got more adventure than they bargained for when a flock of geese let go. No, not seagulls.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let go in flight, fouling the guest.
See what they did?
Yeah, I did. Anaheim police and fire officials say 17 people, including 6 children, were hit by bird droppings just before 9 p.m. Friday. A hazardous materials team was... Is that necessary?
So you think they were near the Haunted Mansion?
I don't know. Every time somebody gets pooped on by a bird, we got to call it the hazmat team.
Absolutely, man. That stuff's hazardous.
They were sent to Main Street near the Sleeping Beauty Castle after a report that feces had been thrown on people. Oh, that's why they came out there. Somebody said... Really?
Somebody said that, yeah. They didn't say it was birds. They just said these people got hit with feces.
It was quickly determined the real culprit was a flock of geese flying overhead. Authorities say the smeared visitors... were taken to a private restroom. Aren't all restrooms pretty much private?
Yeah, around here.
To clean up and were given clean clothes.
Yes.
Police reported that the guests were healthy and happy, whatever, after the event.
Yeah, that's what I said when I read this.
We're having a great time, said Susie with the big blob of white on the front of her shirt.
You know what I didn't play?
Yeah, kind of late for that now.
A little late. It's supposed to be at the beginning of the story.
So why'd you bother?
Well, because I'd forgotten.
Just get to the next
one. You know, the soundboard's giving me headaches tonight.
Yeah, it ain't the only thing giving me a headache.
Headline is, man used shotgun shell full of Rice Krispies to shoot a victim.
This is something I can get behind.
Snap, crackle, bang.
I don't want to be in front of it, but
you
I
know what I'm saying?
It. Yeah.
It's, of course,
did
it comes
you say
from,
snap, crackle, bang?
I did, yeah. Of course, this comes to us from Eureka.
Eureka.
California.
You smell so good yourself.
Police
stolen straight from the Three Stooges.
Police arrested a suspect who allegedly shot a man using a shotgun shell of packed with...
A what? A shell of packed? It's a shotgun shell of packed.
Shotgun shell packed with breakfast cereal. Officers in...
Was
North-
it a blunderbuss? What, how do you...
I don't know. No, you can pack a shotgun shell.
But who would go to that trouble?
This guy.
Okay.
It's not deadly, I guess.
Eureka!
Officers in Northern California city of Eureka responded to reports of shots fired and at least one person with a shotgun wound around 3:25 p.m. Wednesday afternoon.
That brings a whole new feel to the cereal talking to you.
You think he had another shell with, like, powdered milk in it?
I don't know.
That shot breakfast.
Yeah.
Oh.
You want to get back with us on that?
The victim, maybe I should have done this. The victim, my fingers are very late today.
It's
on the soundboard.
Short and stubby.
The victim who had suffered non-life-threatening injury to the hand was treated at a nearby hospital, police said. Detectives caught up with the suspected shooter, 29-year-old Timothy Glass Jr., after he fled to Palco Marsh, a site of a large homeless encampment.
Not Palco Marsh!
According to KRCR-TV, police say one detective suffered a minor injury during the arrest. He was hit with some Fruit Loops. An investigation later determined that Glass used a flare gun to fire the shell, which had been stuffed with Rice Krispies. There's a whole... I want to know the backstory.
I might let him shoot me with Fruity Pebbles. That's my all-time favorite.
Okay, if he ran to a homeless encampment, he had a flare as a weapon. This guy sounded kind of like he may be homeless, maybe challenged...
He's homeless, but he's got white Rice Krispies.
So maybe he was planning to shoot some kind of animal.
He didn't have
the tool. Maybe he was going to shoot a chicken.
No.
Because chicken and Rice Krispies do go together.
Okay, but he had to have a way to actually pack it together. He had to have a gun. If he was home, no.
Well, why'd he run to a homeless encampment? To hide from the cops? I mean, that's feasible.
I don't know what you want
from
me.
We need more.
I don't know anything about this.
Well, somebody get...
I want to get to this next story because I love it.
Get KRCR on the phone. We need more details.
We don't have a phone.
An investigation later determined that Glass used a flare gun, as I said. Glass was booked into the Humboldt County Correctional Facility for resisting arrest and a probation violation.
He wasn't allowed to carry Rice Krispies. You're not supposed to have drugs on you. You need weapons.
Breakfast cereal.
Psychic hit by car says... He never saw it coming.
I love good journalistic humor.
Blair Robertson recalls the moment when a white Lexus crashed through the front window of a restaurant in Canada, launching the psychic medium into the air and pinning him against a wall. I didn't foresee it happening, eh? Litchfield Park resident Robertson, 51, jokes about the May 30th incident even as he is recovering from injuries. He was having lunch with a mentor and fellow psychic. You think that guy could have helped him?
I bet it was a silent lunch. I bet they were just communicating.
Yeah, they could communicate louder.
And everybody thought they were mad at each other.
When the car plowed through the window, I keep thinking about that Spider-Man scene. When the car comes through, when Doc Ock, did he throw it through the window? Something happens.
Doc Ock.
Anyway, but Spider-Man saved the day. But anywho, when the car plowed through the window at Silk's Country Kitchen in Virgil, Ontario.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
It does. Robertson and his friend were seated at a table by the window. It basically sounded like a bomb going off, eh? Robertson said, it took place 1 second in time, eh?
Don't you know?
I almost knocked over my Molson, eh?
Hey.
The crash was captured on a restaurant surveillance camera, which Robertson has posted on his Facebook page, along with updates on how he's doing. I see him a table flying up, eh? A friend disappears behind a table to grab his Molson. Next thing I know, I'm flying in the air, and then I landed. The car grabbed my leg and pulled me back down, eh? It pinned my leg under the car in a very weird position like this, and like
don't,
that.
Don't you know?
I think that's North Dakota or something.
Whatever.
He recalled in an interview with the Arizona Republic, my leg was in the shape of an L, eh?
L.
My foot was on its side, and I have no idea how it wasn't snapped off, eh? With an injured left rib, swollen leg, bruises throughout his body, and whiplash in his neck, Robertson is amazed he's still alive. There must have been angels in there, eh? Robertson said. Police said the 85-year-old woman who was driving the car was not impaired. She just likes to crash through windows. I made that part up.
All right. We got some serious stuff going on.
I say stuff like I made that part up because I don't want people thinking that's really the story because you're so
bent. It's got to be true.
You're so bent on it being true.
Big trouble at Monahans, Craig.
Whatever Monahans is.
Monahans. Oh, here's headline. Monahans police searching for suspect who spray-painted Jeff.
So you just don't say headline is anymore.
Sometimes I do.
Officially, that's not your shtick anymore.
Sometimes I do.
What would happen if Gary Coleman went into Different Strokes one day and said, he'd say, what's up, Willis?
That wouldn't work. Headline is, Monahans police search for suspect who spray-painted Jeff. And I don't know if this was like a guy named Jeff that they got spray-painted or if somebody, but let's read the
story. Did they spray-paint the word Jeff on Jeff?
Let's find out.
So we knew who he was?
The Monahans Police Department is searching for suspect or suspects who spray-painted the name Jeff on an RV and fences last week. So, it was a weird kind of, what do you call it, graffiti.
It was graffiti.
Yeah, it was weird. Jeff-feety.
Jeff Feady.
Yeah, Jeff Feady. According to the Ward County Crime Stoppers, the act happened during the early morning hours of Friday, June 2nd.
Does it matter when it happened, really?
It really does. I mean, it was, you know, it's recent.
Do you remember the movie Turk 182?
Yes.
Love that movie. With Timothy Hutton.
Who knew? Tyler Flew and Who Knew or something like that was what he put up on the screen. Tyler Flew.
I don't remember. He was protesting the fire department wasn't paying the pension to his
Yeah, he got into the Super Bowl or
started
something.
Doing Turk 182 was written on everything.
Yes, it was.
It's Timothy Hutton. Good movie, kid. You ought to check it out.
It is a good movie.
It's from the 80s.
Can I get back to the story now?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
An RV?
It was about graffiti. That's why I said that.
Yeah. Well, not really. Kind of.
It was. It was all about graffiti.
It was more about his...
he kept marking everything up.
It was more about his rebellion.
Okay, get back to your Banksy story.
An RV, as well as two fences, were found to have spray paint on them with the name Jeff in the 1400 block of South Allen. So, somebody spray painting Jeff. I would look for Jeff's.
This really isn't that. That's not really weird enough for me.
Oh, it's very weird. It's very weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if you... Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stand between
very
you
weird.
And Jeff Feedy.
Jeff, very weird.
Hey.
Yeah.
At $75,000.
Yeah.
$75,500.
Yeah.
Housing a prisoner in California now costs more than a year at Harvard.
So we're paying more to house prisoners. Oh, we're not us.
Not
we're
us.
Not.
No.
Paying more to... They are paying more to house prisoners than those going to Harvard.
That's what I just said.
Yes, I was just kind of rewording it.
I don't think you needed to.
Well, I did.
Anyway, the cost of imprisoning each of California's 130,000 inmates is expected to reach a record of $75,560 in the next year.
Good grief.
That's enough to cover the annual cost of attending Harvard University and still have plenty left over for pizza and beer.
That's about what I paid for
our
school.
I don't think they can quantify that. I think they made that part up.
Nope. They didn't.
Governor Jerry Brown's spending plan for the fiscal year that starts July 1st includes a record $11.4 billion for the Corrections Department, while also predicting there will be 11,500 fewer inmates in 4 years because voters in November approved early releases for many inmates.
Wow.
The price... Remember that time California had that, it was an island that they put them on called Alcatraz?
Yeah.
How about you open that back up?
Yeah, man.
How about you catch them on the
I
other
bet
side?
They're not making much money, you know, as a tourist, although I'd like to go see it.
I went by it on a boat one time. I didn't get to go in.
I like to go in.
I think
in.
It was closed at the time, but I'm really sad because
they filmed
it would have been awesome. The Rock was
filming
there.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. You know, Vicky works at Alcatraz. Remember that?
Vicky?
Yeah, from...
Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman, that's right.
Yeah, Vicky. Vicky.
Yeah, So I Married an Axe Murderer. Great movie.
I got to go by on a boat one time. I didn't get to go in. Yeah. They had it closed for a while.
Yeah, it's open now.
Yeah.
But anyway, put them there.
Can I get back now?
Put them there, pal.
The price for each inmate has doubled since 2005, even as the court orders related to overcrowding have reduced the population by about one quarter. Salaries and benefits for prison guards and medical providers drove much of the increase.
Hmm.
The result... is a per-inmate cost that is the nation's highest.
Good night.
And $2,000 above tuition, fees, room and board, and other expenses to attend Harvard.
Good grief.
Why don't we send them all to Harvard? Since 2015, California's per-inmate costs have surged nearly $10,000, or about 13%. New York is a distant second in overall cost of about $69,000.
Since Harvard puts out a lot of attorneys, they've already got all the criminals they need at their school.
That's true.
What'd I say?
What?
What'd I say?
What?
That was terrible.
What? What? Critics say with fewer inmates, the cost should be falling. Now that we're incarcerating less, we haven't ramped the system back down, said Chris Hone, executive director of the left-leaning California Budget and Policy Center.
Did they have to put that in there?
The left-leaning?
Yeah, what
California.
That?
We don't need to know
that. Really? What's that got to do with anything, though?
I mean, it doesn't, but I'm thinking California left-leaning,
yeah.
It's not really that much of a stretch.
I guess if you look at a map, they are left-leaning because they're way over on the left of the map. You know.
Or politically.
Yeah, but I don't want to go there.
Well, I'm not going there.
You
I'm
did.
Just saying,
you went there.
But
you
I'm not
it.
Making an opinion known of
I'd
it.
I'd have skipped it.
All I'm saying is it's pretty obvious by the last election that they're very left. Okay. You know, it wasn't a politically charged comment. It was just a fact. I'm playing all week, folks.
In Florida, here we go. Another short story. Just one paragraph.
I like this rapid-fire storytelling, though.
It's pretty fun, actually.
We get a lot more in.
Yeah, we do. Driver claims spider caused Cooper City car accident.
Are you still scared of spiders?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not scared of spiders.
What about snakes that look like spiders?
Yeah, I'd be scared of a spider
what
snake.
About a flying snake?
Yes.
A flying spider snake.
That's trifecta. Although adding the spider to it doesn't make me any more afraid of it. I'm just afraid of flying snakes. What if they were a thing? What if they flew like birds?
If it was a flying snake flying towards you with a DQ blizzard in his
Oh, I'd have
mouth,
to.
Not hand. Yeah. He has no hands. Would you be scared of him then?
I'd be scared of him, but I would try to figure out in my mind before he got to me how I could get that from him.
It's a trick.
I don't care what flavor it is.
But it's a trick.
What do you mean? It's a trick.
He's just trying to bite you.
Oh, it's a trick.
He's going to drop it. No, he's going to eat it, and he's going to bite you.
Smart snake. Cooper City, Florida. A driver involved in a Cooper City car accident Tuesday claims a spider caused the crash.
That would be true if it was my daughter.
That's true.
Savannah does not like spiders.
What about Gabrielle?
She probably thinks they're cool.
Okay.
She's into weird stuff. Like
she really
snakes,
is.
Snakes, spiders.
Yeah, whatnot. The unnamed driver lost control of the vehicle. And why didn't he have a name?
I don't know why he's unnamed. I would think maybe at the time they were cash poor. The parents couldn't come up with something, pay the fees.
You think maybe they were cash money outside poor?
Yeah.
Or something?
Pretty much.
The unnamed driver lost control of the vehicle and hit a light post on Knob Hill. We got a Knob Hill here in Nashville.
Wow. Not spelled the same way.
No, it's a little different. Broward Sheriff's Department spokesperson Mike Jackals tweeted the driver told him a spider was loose.
I tweeted the driver. I was like, he's driving.
That's dangerous, man. While it's unknown what type of arachnid was to blame, Jackals added that the spider was not itsy bitsy.
Was not hashtag
itsy bitsy.
I started to say pound sign.
Yeah, because
I'm so old.
It was one of those Australian hunters.
Oh, huntsman spider.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's what it was. Yeah. Yeah, that's what
yes,
it was, mate.
That's right. I'm tempted to hit the song.
No, don't. Don't. Hey.
Yes.
This is a story written for you. Really?
Hey, I found my dream job.
China's rent-a-Caucasian industry is alive and well.
I can move to China now.
You can't talk that way.
Yes, I can.
No, you're the product. You have to talk like just a goofy guy from Tennessee.
Well, I got that down.
You really are good. You excel at it. There are lots of ways for entrepreneurs to make money in China, but Caucasians have a special advantage, the color of their skin. That is racist.
That really is racist. That is the definition of racist.
That really is. For example, there's 25-year-old Katie, it's not her real name, an American with her own little small business. Her client is a Chinese firm that contracts with her to accompany the firm's director to dinner with clients every week. Why? Because she's a honky.
Yeah, and she's a trophy. That's what it is.
She's a snowflake.
He's like, you meet my wife. Her name Katie.
Yeah.
She come from Nashville, Tennessee.
I don't know what you just said. Anyway, Katie says.
You don't speak Chinese.
He says, there's no harm in it, says Katie to the New Straits Times. I've never felt uncomfortable, nervous, or unsafe in attending any of these dinners. It always worked out for me.
Sure, she got fed and paid.
There's nothing sordid involved. It's just that businessmen in China favor bringing foreigners to social events. No. They favor bringing white Westerners, is what this says, the very next thing it says.
You don't call me racist.
You know, come here. I like all people. I just like the honkies the best.
She's so pretty.
It helps them portray an international image or add something exotic to the conversation.
I say, now, Katie, by the door.
Yeah. How you like my honky? According to the New Straits Times report, many Chinese equate Caucasian faces with business success and a global look.
I wonder if the business women do the same thing, because we could go over and rack up. Man.
I don't mind going over there and
go to China,
eat some Chinese food.
Heck yes,
just make them look impressed. Of course, we'd embarrass them in the first 5 minutes.
Leave.
You got it now.
You bad white person.
You eat too much.
You tell them some good white person.
Yeah, you bad snowflake. Asian, we can make fun of ourselves because we're white.
Yeah.
Asian, and that's okay, right?
Yeah, everybody makes fun of whites.
Check with our lawyers on that. Hey, by the way, mental note, go get us some lawyers. Asian countries have long had an affinity with Westerners in their advertising. Hollywood stars from Taylor Swift to Madonna have been paid handsomely to appear in ads there. Now there's a growing demand for Caucasian musicians, athletes, architects, lawyers, and other professionals.
Podcasters.
To portray an image of international success. Well, that's us.
We got microphones.
We are podcasters, and we are international.
We're also
two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.
Technically, yes.
Yeah.
Not all Caucasians living in China are thrilled with their compatriots, their atriots.
Their dot-comma
atriots. I just read what it says. With the compatriots who rent themselves out. It's an industry built on a platform of dishonesty and deceit, said Canadian John Lombard, who has been based in China for more than 2 decades.
Of course. I would have known he was Canadian with that name alone. Yeah. John Lombard.
John Lombard, eh?
Beauty.
The ongoing debates make little difference for Katie, who has a full-time job in Beijing. That's because the side gig helps pay the bills. She gets a thousand yen, basically. Is it yen? Yuan?
Yeah, yen.
Yen.
She gets $1,000 Chinese dollars.
She gets $145 bucks for a fun night out just for being Caucasian. That's $145 cleared.
Yes.
They're paying her meals, her drinks, and everything.
That's right. She eats and has a merry old time. All right. Headline it. Oh, we got a snake story, Craig.
Okay.
Comes to us from Bihar. Headline is...
Do you know where that is?
I do not.
I was hoping you did.
Headline is, snake bites man, man bites wife, because he wanted them to die together.
So
I bet she didn't.
Snake bites the man.
Yeah.
The man bites the wife.
Right.
She dies.
I don't know what. I don't know the science.
I don't think he understands how this works.
Let's see. Let's see what happened. A man in Bihar was bitten by a venomous snake. And I read...
Check.
I read a little bit of... you know, I edit these. I don't put everything in the stories.
You manufacture these?
No, I don't. They're all real. I just trim out the fat. You know, it's because we're going to keep it interesting here on Weird. He was asleep when this snake snuck in the house and bit him.
Do you think this snake, any snake really sneaks? I think they just kind of come on
they
in.
They just slither. A man in Bihar was bitten by a venomous snake. After he was bitten by the snake, the man bit his wife in the wrist.
Okay.
The man's last wish was to die. I bet he, like, cut. Yeah. But,
what does he think? Wait, you get bitten. It goes in your bloodstream. Suddenly your saliva's going to kill her?
The man's last
Maybe
wish.
Maybe he was just really nasty.
Well, something worked. The man's last wish was to die together with his wife, and to make it happen, he tried his best, but the woman was luckily saved by doctors.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was trying to like cut her wrist.
Yes,
he was trying to make her bleed
exactly.
out. But the way this is written, it sounds like
yeah.
he's trying to
And that's how I read it.
Yeah.
However, the man died, according to Gulf News
report.
He
was bitten by a snake. I don't know if you heard or not.
The incident happened in Samastipur District.
Samastipur.
District on Saturday. Till snake bite do us part. Resident of Bersingpur Village, Sankorai, was asleep. Oh, here it is. Was asleep when a lethal snake bit him.
Okay.
Upon waking up, which I bet was instantly.
Why would the snake bite him? You think he like rolled over on it or something?
I don't know.
The snake has
Snakes
to
are mean. They probably just bit him out of spite.
They usually have to feel threatened.
Nah, they're just mean. Upon waking up, he found his condition deteriorating and suddenly turned emotional.
You think?
When Shankar realized he won't make it through, he went up to his wife, Amari Devi. You know Amari, don't you remember?
Amari?
Yeah, Amari Devi. And bit her hands, saying that he loved her very much and wanted to depart this world together. She's like, wait a minute.
He would have had to take a chunk out of her wrist.
He was very emotional, man. After Shankar bit his wife, Amari, both fell unconscious. She was about to bleed out is what it was.
Right.
Soon, the couple was rushed to a local hospital where Shankar died.
I like the idea. I like the story before when he was trying to bite her to put the venom
yes.
in her.
Yes. But soon the doctors managed to save Amari. The woman could be saved if her treatment began on time. She's safe now. A local medical
practitioner. What he just said. Did we translate that?
Yeah, go ahead.
The woman could be saved as her treatment began on time. She is safe now.
A local medical practitioner, Dr. Jacquenot, told the local...
I don't know. Sometimes I think the letters just mix up in your head.
They do. Told the local media on Monday. According to Amari Devi, remember her?
Yeah.
Her husband...
She's the lady who died.
Her husband dug his teeth into her wrist.
That sounds like...
He wished to die together and also to remain united even in the afterlife. But his last wish wasn't fulfilled. He told me he loved me too much and wanted to die together before grabbing my wrist and sinking his teeth into it. I allowed him to do so, the woman told the media.
He told me he loved me too much and want to die together before grabbing my wrist and sinking his teeth into it. I allowed him to do so.
Why would she do that?
Because she's stupid! Woman's headache turns out to be spider living in her ear.
Oh, no. That gives me a headache thinking about it.
I don't want to think about that. Make it pay rent's what I say.
Yeah, what if he built a little house? He came out with his little hat on.
Maybe. Little top hat. Turns around, shuts the door, locks it.
She goes, ow.
Ow. A woman's worst fear. Now, how do we know it's her worst fear?
Did we
write them all down on a piece of paper?
She maybe told them that. I don't know.
A woman's worst fear was realized when the source of her excruciating headache turned out to be a large spider living in her ear.
Not just any spider. A large one.
A large spider.
It wasn't an itsy-bitsy either.
It was when this huntsman. It was when he was trying to drag the mouse into her ear. And that's when she noticed it. You have to listen to an earlier episode.
That's some of the stuff you miss.
Yeah. The 49-year-old patient, identified only as Lakshmi L., woke up from an afternoon nap on her veranda, experiencing slight discomfort and a tingling sensation in her right ear, according to The Sun. Why would you ask The Sun? Well, I was up here and I was watching. And
Say, you got a spider in your ear.
Yeah, you got a spider in your ear. I can button that out for you if you want. Suspecting some sort of obstruction, she tried to dig around. That's always the first thing to do. Dig around in her ear with her finger, but wasn't able to feel anything because her finger was numb.
And then she said, honey, bring me a screwdriver.
Yeah, bring me a screwdriver. After her headache became too excruciating to handle, her husband rushed her to the Columbia Asia Hospital in Hebbal, India. When doctors shone a light inside her aching ear, they discovered the horrific truth. A live spider had crawled inside her ear and had taken up residence.
Yee.
They saw a wee little refrigerator, a stove, an ottoman. Medics proceeded to coax the arachnid out of hiding.
Here, spidey, spidey.
Spidey, spidey, spidey.
Look what we got.
I got a little fly for you. Successfully leading it out of her ear. He's like, wait, fly for me? Yes, come out, a fly for you. A fly for me?
Here I come.
Leading it out of her ear canal with a beam, a small beam of light. Oh, he needed to see how to get out.
Oh, he's like a cat.
They were chasing her with a laser pointer. Dr. Santosh Shivaswamy, consultant ENT at Columbia Hospital, told The Sun, why are people talking to the sky? That the terrifying nature of the patient's injury made it especially difficult to treat. It is common to see emergency room visits due to the presence of a foreign object in the ear, and it takes a simple procedure to remove the object, he said. However, when a living insect makes its way inside the human ear, the patient's anxiety makes it very difficult to continue the procedure.
I guess it does.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
I've heard of, you know, cockroaches crawling into ears and stuff.
Oh,
like that.
That's even, I'd rather, I don't know which, I don't want anything in my, crawling in my ear.
I don't want anything in my ear
Nothing.
Except stuff that goes in my ear, like sound.
Yes.
Yeah.
Headline is, bodies switched in mortuary blunder. Man misses his own funeral.
They say that can happen.
Yeah. A mix-up at the Methodist Hospital mortuary last week led to the burial of the wrong body, with relatives making the shocking discovery when the corpse of their loved one was nowhere to be found.
Wait, so did they not have a funeral and they had, like, I don't like open caskets, but they have an open casket?
They couldn't have had, because it's the wrong body, man. The incident was discovered when a granddaughter of one of the two men went to the mortuary to visit her grandfather's coffin. Not her grandfather, she just wanted to visit the coffin.
Okay.
Hello, coffin. Once up close, the woman was shocked to see the body lying inside the coffin that supposedly belonged to her grandfather was actually that of another man. She alerted the staff at the mortuary, and upon further investigation, it emerged that the man's body was no longer at the mortuary, but had already been buried after being mistaken for someone else.
I can't imagine you're saying, this is not my grandfather. And they're like, do you have a picture?
Oh, that guy.
Oh, yeah,
we buried him yesterday.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
Contacted about the incident, a spokesman for Health Ministry confirmed that the coffin was erroneously released for burial one day last week. An internal investigation to determine what caused the mix-up is currently underway, the ministry spokeswoman said. So we had a body mix-up. They buried the wrong guy. I don't know how that happened because
I don't know if this is India, where this is.
It's got to be.
It's there's a lot of people there.
Yeah, that's
true. They're processing a lot of bodies.
That's true. Just bury that guy.
Driver flees crash with hydrant stuck to car.
Nobody is going to notice that. No. I assure you. It's my hood ornament.
It happens in Parsippany, New Jersey.
Yeah.
New Jersey authorities say a driver fled the scene of an accident with a fire hydrant stuck to his car and then tossed it in the trash.
How did he toss it? Those things got to weigh a ton.
Not to mention the fact that the part you see above the ground.
Yes.
There's a huge pipe that goes down into the ground. Parsippany police say the motorist drove off after his car struck the hydrant. And a mailbox.
This guy drives like my... No, I'm not saying it.
Darn it.
He struck a hydrant and a mailbox Tuesday. Police followed the trail of water from the scene to a township home where they found the car and the hydrant. The driver was found in a nearby diner. I'm just having some pie.
It was some coffee.
Yeah, leave me alone with some coffee. I don't know nothing about that.
That's not my car.
Well, that's not my car.
I parked my car in the car park.
Police say 20... I said to some guy on the phone one time who's from Boston.
Yeah.
I said about in the Harvard Yard.
Yeah.
And all I heard on the other side of the phone was, oh, great. I just heard something like, I just should not have said that to the guy. So what's funny to us hillbillies is not funny to everybody
else. Not necessarily so.
Not necessarily funny. Anywho. No.
Go ahead.
Police say 27-year-old township resident Domingo Marino has been charged with criminal mischief, hindering apprehension, and tampering with the evidence, and was turned over to federal immigration officials. It wasn't known Saturday if he has retained an attorney.
He may have. You know,
if not, he will be provided
with a name like Domingo Marino.
I'm not saying.
Nope, me
either. Don't mess with people whose names end with vowels.
No. Headline is, U.S. government warns cops about smoochie woochie poochie.
Okay.
That's the official headline. Hey, buddy, want to buy some smoochie woochie poochie?
I want a sound clip of that. You going, smoochie poochie woochie.
How about some babaloo cha-cha? Babaloo cha-cha. You want some of that?
Oh, yeah.
Some Scooby snacks?
Oh, yo, hey, Frankie.
Maybe a little mind detergent? I could use some of that. Or instant zen. Blue Boys, Golden Girls, Flake, Fluff, Fizz. Any of that, Craig? You interested?
Are you selling drugs now?
Those are all terms from a lexicon of an American drug slang recently published by the Drug Enforcement Administration. It is designed as a ready reference for law enforcement personnel who are confronted by many of the hundreds of slang terms used to identify a wide variety of controlled substances, designer drugs, and synthetic compounds. Craig, we need to get our hands on that little book that they've published. You know how we like to call the jail the old Stony Lonesome,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
the big house,
yeah,
and all those names. We could anytime we refer to drugs, we could say, what was it, smoochie woochie poochie?
If I was a cop, every time somebody would say mind detergent, I'd go, what did you say? And then I'd have to go, hold on a second, you. And I have to look at them.
There it is. That's a drug.
Hey, that's a drug, lady.
It's meant to help law enforcement officials know the difference between purple haze, that's pot, and purple rain, which is PCP.
No, it was a song.
Or Scooby Snacks, which is MDMA. Or Kibbles and Bits, which is Ritalin.
Okay.
But slang is tricky, ever-changing thing, and a drug slang, all the more so. Some of the terms feel hopelessly antiquated, like reefer or wacky tobacky for marijuana. Others seem ridiculously or highly improbable, like movie star drug for cocaine or smoochie woochie poochie for cannabis.
How could you keep a straight face and ask for some smoochie woochie poochie?
Hey, what are you looking for, man? You want some smoochie woochie poochie? I got it on sale.
Kibbles and bits.
So the DEA acknowledges that these things could be quite difficult.
I mean, it's a really strange thing how figures of speech and terms and slang and all that happen. Do you ever wonder, how does that happen?
What do you mean?
How does one person say, you know, don't take a wooden nickel. Don't take any wooden nickels.
And then
suddenly everybody's saying it.
Yeah, but think of the ones that have died off that we've never heard. I bet there's some good ones out there.
There is. I was reading one last night.
What was it?
It was, I was watching the one of my favorite, I started watching one of my favorite movies, the Don Knotts movie, Goes to Mr. Chicken.
Great movie.
And he says, why don't you go up an alley and holler fish?
Yeah, that's right.
And so we've laughed about that one before.
Yes.
So I looked it up.
Yeah.
And apparently that has shown up in several. It showed up in Andy Griffith, showed up in that movie, but it also showed up in like MASH or something.
Really?
And it basically was some figure speech that meant, why don't you just go off and shut up? You know, why don't you go up an alley and holler fish?
Or I'll butter your necktie.
But that one didn't catch on.
No, but so, it should. Let's bring it back.
Why don't you run up an alley and holler fish? EasyJet denies asking passengers to vote on whether or not to fly with faulty engine.
Who's going to vote to take that flight? I'll fly.
I'm kind of up for it.
It might be fun.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Passengers on an EasyJet flight back from Spain claim the pilot asked them to vote on whether he should try to fly a plane with a faulty engine. The travelers were due to fly from Malaga to Bristol, but had already faced 36 hours of delays when the pilot is said to have asked for a show of hands on whether they should fly. Only a dozen people said the flight should take off, while other passengers had panic attacks and demanded to be let off the plane.
That'd be me. I don't know about the panic attack.
However, the airline has denied this ever happened.
Sure.
Wouldn't there be a bunch of witnesses?
Yeah, there are.
I mean, it's like,
that didn't happen, man.
Saying the pilot had actually asked if they wished to stay on the plane or disembark after one of the two engines faltered. Witnesses claim the pilot told the 150 passengers on board that there was only a 50-50 chance that he would be able to get both engines working.
That's
our
good odds.
No. I mean, you either 50-50. Are or you aren't.
You're right.
It's always 50-50. 50-50. The flight had already been delayed by 36 hours, causing passengers to remain in hotels overnight before they boarded the plane on Saturday afternoon. One man from Bath, he came immediately from the tub.
Still dripping.
Who had been appointed as a spokesman for the passengers said he was sick when he heard the vote being called. The pilot himself said he'd never heard or done anything like this in 37 years of flying, he added. He gave us the option, ask us what he should do. He asked for a show of hands. There were some who just wanted to try it.
Then, oh, my
they
goodness.
Wanted to get home, but most didn't. There were girls hyperventilating. I said that in the Southern way.
That's all
hyperventilating.
Right.
Lots of people were panicking.
Sure.
There were elderly people on there and lots of children. The worst thing. Why was this guy from the South on this plane?
Because.
The worst thing was that we had to wait another hour or two before they would actually let us off the plane, he said.
These poor people. They've already been,
they've been through so much.
So much already.
A spokesman for EasyJet said the pilot attempted to use one engine to start the other engine, as is normal procedure, because he was aware that passengers had already been considerably delayed due to a technical problem. The pilot asked the passengers if they would like to get off or remain on board whilst the engine started a sequence, startup sequence continued. Due to the technical issue, EasyJet then decided to fly the passengers back on a replacement aircraft. At no point did the pilot ask passengers to take a vote on flying the aircraft, nor would we ever attempt to fly the aircraft without both engines working correctly. Wow, wait until that video comes out. Somebody recorded it.
Absolutely.
With their
phone. I want to see it. Headline is, oh, that's a good one, Craig. Headline is, man arrested, accused of assaulting a woman and cooking her French fries, Craig.
Did he assault the French fries?
I hope so. I don't like pepper on them. Moneta, South Carolina. The Aiken County Sheriff's Office arrested a man accused of kidnapping and assaulting a woman. In the report, the sheriff's office said Ronnie James Dio broke into
same thing.
Ronnie James broke into a woman's home on Rankin Road in Moneta. The victim said when she saw him, she attempted to run, but he chased her down and began to assault her. The report said that James hit the victim with a closed fist and put a knife to her neck, threatening to kill her. That's pretty serious, right?
Yeah.
There. Deputies said James forced her to...
Would it have somehow made it better if it was an open fist?
Yeah. James... Yeah. Deputies said James forced her to get in his car and go to his house. Once they got there, the report said he cooked her French fries. That was nice. He's trying to make up for all the...
You need some French fries, woman.
The report said the victim was dropped off an hour later at her home. He just wanted company for dinner.
He was wanting to try that French fry recipe.
He said, you gotta try these fries.
He got that new fry daddy, and he wanted to try it out.
The victim said James has never lived at her house, and she did not know how he got in. James is charged with first-degree burglary, kidnapping, third-degree assault and battery, and domestic violence, and cooking French fries of a high and aggravated nature.
And that story's weird because the French fry thing.
All kind of reasons, yeah.
Well,
he dropped her back home. You know, all kind of stuff's going on there.
In Florida, I went berserk.
Naked man attacks. Urinates on police car.
So, what's up with people getting naked in Florida? Remember, we had the guy that was driving naked.
We asked that repeatedly.
Naked people. It's the sun. The sun's close.
Something about Florida.
Yeah, the Gators.
Makes them loony.
Yes.
Marion County, Florida. An 18-year-old Florida man faces charges after he was found naked and walking away from a crash scene and then attacked and urinated on a sheriff's car.
Nothing to see here.
You can see the face I'm making right now.
Yes.
Deputies arrested Andrew Humphreys after he ripped a door handle off of... Oh, he was high on bath salts.
Something.
Ripped a door handle off a vehicle.
He was high on smoochy woochy poochy is what
he
it was.
He had to be. Some of those kibbles and bits. After he ripped the door handle off a car parked at the MCSO South Multi-District Office. They really got to work on that name.
Good night.
He urinated on a patrol car while he was in custody. The odd series of events started around 7:45 p.m. Wednesday as deputies were responding to a vehicle accident, and they learned that the driver of one of the vehicles walked away. A deputy then came upon a naked Humphreys casually walking along South U.S. Highway 441.
Believe me, you don't want to come across a naked Humphreys.
Naked
Humphreys. That'd be a good name for a band, though.
The Naked Humphreys.
Yes.
I hope someone's writing these down.
You could open up for the Bare Naked Ladies.
That's true.
It'd be a naked show.
It'd be a double hitter there.
Double hitter.
What?
Were you trying to make a sports reference?
No, I don't know what I was trying to do. A double feature. That's a movie reference.
That's even better. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know what I was trying to do. To be honest with you, I'm just getting kind of tired.
We're both kind of loopy.
Humphreys then strolled over to the front of the patrol vehicle and tried to open the driver's door, which was locked. He was arrested and put inside the car. Humphreys then kicked the rear passenger door and pulled on the metal cage, causing $1,000 in damage. He was taken to Marion County Jail.
This guy had to be on something, because that's a lot of damage for a guy to do in the back of a police car.
It gets better.
Really?
While leaving the jail, the deputy got a call from the Florida Highway Patrol saying that witnesses reported that Humphreys pulled the handle off a vehicle at the South Multi-District Office. He then urinated on the vehicle.
This guy's got issues.
So a dog walks up and does that, nobody says anything.
He'd have to chew the handle off, though. Here we go. You know what it is?
It's the Flash Chackas top 10 list.
That it is.
This is a weird top 10 list.
We got a boring one tonight.
Did you make this up?
No, I didn't make it up. This is official. This comes to us from a top 10 website.
Well, my favorite My favorite's number three, so.
My favorite's number two, my second favorite's number seven, and my third favorite's number five.
Yeah, well, my first favorite's number three, and then my second favorite's number four, and then you probably get, I don't know.
Top 10 favorite colors. Number 10, pink.
What you wear every day.
No, but I do like her music.
Yeah, she's got a good voice. Yeah. I like her. Number nine, it's very racist, white. That's not even a color.
It's not. That's
it's
the
a hue.
That,
isn't it hue? And it's the absence of color.
It's the absence of color, correct. Number eight, gold.
Because it's worth a lot of money.
Right.
Leprechauns like you always keep a lot of it around.
What do you know about leprechauns?
I sit across from one. Number seven, yellow, like that dude's urine in that last story.
Yellow.
I'm assuming a little bit there.
Yellow's my third favorite color. I love it.
I'm glad you love it.
I love
it. Number six is?
Number six is mine. That's what it is.
Good, because I'll get made fun of the way I say it.
Go ahead. You take number six.
No, you do it.
Orange.
See, if I'll try to say orange. I used to say orange.
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 That works, too. I like orange juice.
So I try to say orange.
We're in Tennessee. Orange
number
is
five.
A very popular color here.
Number five, again, not a color. Black.
I think black is a color.
It's a hue.
I love it.
It's a hue.
Hey, hue.
Number four.
Number four, Prince's favorite color, purple.
Was.
Yeah.
Number three.
Yeah.
My favorite, green.
Who has green as their favorite? Even the list has it at number three.
I like green.
Why?
My eyes are green.
Yeah.
Not that you would notice.
I don't really notice. No,
you know,
I don't.
Look into my eyes.
Number two, red.
That's an aggravating color.
Red's my favorite color. That's my very favorite color. I love it.
Well, I'm glad.
Yeah.
We're really happy.
And
for
black
it.
Is my second favorite color.
That's
like
not
black.
A color.
I like black and yellow together.
And the number one, top 10 favorite color.
Yes, go ahead.
Blue.
Yeah, I've heard that's everybody growing up, that was their favorite color.
I like
color.
Blue mixed with greens.
You just green. You just got this green stuff.
Hey,
what?
I'm not fancy like you. I don't get invited on really, really popular podcasts to talk about stuff.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about me being on Scott Johnson's podcast.
Hey, Scott
podcast.
Johnson, call me. I'll be on your podcast. I can talk in a stupid Southern accent like him.
I was on Current Geek, episode 134. Pull that up. You'll hear me talking to the great Scott Johnson.
Hey, Scott Johnson, I can talk like that, too.